Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any all vampire movies not covered by any other Movie by Minutes shows. I am your host, Dr. Chris, and joining me, as what I thought was the end of the movie, but we still have some time left, is from the Fangirling Podcast. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Kaylin Cicchini. Like he said, I'm the host of the Fangirling Podcast, and I'm also an author of what I call paranormal love stories.
And on your podcast, you have been heavily into Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, we just started in May, so we're still new. But the idea of the podcast was to a rewatch podcast of all things Creatures of the Night is the tagline. So we're starting with Buffy the Vampire Slayer because that's where it started for me back in middle school. So
okay, what makes your show different than like a lot of other Buffy podcasts that are out there? Because I got something sent to me on the top 25. Vampire podcasts of all time, like currently. This was like a year ago, and I bumped up in it. Most of them were Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast, which I was shocked to see that there were that many. But of course, it makes sense. And I was like, oh my god, there's a lot of Buffy podcasts out there. I came in at like number 22. I have since bumped up to number 13 because a lot of the podcasts have either been canceled or they kind of ran their course because they ran out of episodes or they just disappeared.
Who knows if we're – I'm hoping we're going to run until we, hit the end. We plan to cover Angel, too. As far as what's my – how mine is different, I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has their own takes. Everybody has their own personal experiences. Me and my co-host, Laura, who we were friends, we met – we actually met in third grade, but we watched this in middle school. So we have a lot of connections, a lot of, like, memories that – are connected to middle school. So it's yes, we're mostly talking about Buffy and what the show meant to us and stuff, but there's a lot of nostalgia rabbit trails that we go down to. So it's fun. Yeah.
I've had just a couple people on from Buffy on my show. Have you ever had anyone on from Buffy?
No, we're new, so we're not doing guest stars yet. No. It's just been me and her so far.
Okay, that's totally fine. Is it something that you want to pursue to have somebody on that's easily accessible and not a real pain in the butt?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I want to keep it, really close and personal or whatever. I've never interviewed anybody, so I'm not sure if I'd be good at it.
Have you ever been interviewed?
Yes, I was on the Inebriart podcast.
Okay, just want to make sure I wasn't like stabbing your interview tart cherry.
No, I was which is how we met, was the Hometown Haunts and Horror convention that was hosted by Inebriart. But yeah, they have a podcast and I was on there twice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was a cool little thing. I'm definitely looking forward to hopefully seeing it come around again. Hopefully it doesn't get too big, because stuff like that can get so big they're like, okay, we can't do this anymore. It's way too big and the space is way too small. You know what I mean? And that can happen. And I unfortunately could see it happening, but maybe they'll move to another location, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little crowded last year because it rained.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So I brought you on to talk about From Dusk Till Dawn, minutes 85 to 90. Have you ever seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, I did not see when it came out because I was 10. and we were not a let's let the kids watch rated R movies type of house.
So I terrible saw household. That's how you grow up and learn good and bad things.
Yeah. So I saw it somewhere in my 20s. I think I was like making a point to like watch vampire movie because I love vampires. And it started with Buffy, speaking of. I was making a point to watch like some of the what was told to me by the internet. some of the best vampire movies. So this was obviously on the list.
Which is funny because it takes 55 minutes to get there. 60 minutes if you actually count like the when they finally get to the bar, and then it's like 10 minutes of them sitting around drinking and Selma Hayek coming out for 5 minutes to dance, not strip, but dance.
Right.
Very Jessica Rabbit style, you know what I mean? Like, you're just kind of like watching her body, and then, you know, there's just that sexy enough. We don't need to go too crazy with it.
Right.
Which is what I guess compared it to. Like, this is like Jessica Rabbit coming on stage. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. Our minutes are 85 to 90, and we open our minutes with Preacher with a Gun, as he's just blown away his first vampire, and our minutes end with Let's Kill Some Fucking Vampires by George Clooney saying that. So we get a bar full of really ugly vampires.
Yep. And somehow they're all different looking, which is, I thought, an interesting thing. Like, it wasn't just one vampire costume for every stuntman. It was everybody looked different, which was cool.
Well, there's only actual 8 suits being worn by 8 different actors, and the rest is cardboard cutouts, photographed, flipped around to show different angles of the photographs.
Oh.
Yeah, and whenever they do close-up of the vampire faces, they're only doing actually 3 close-ups of 3 actors and then reshadowing them in post to make it look like other vampires.
Oh.
So this is like what they did in Aliens, where there are only 5 alien suits designed for the budget, and they were the same 5 alien suits reused in multiple shots to make it look like there were like hundreds of xenomorphs.
Wow.
Yeah. He gets to the back room and reveals to his kids that he is unfortunately been bitten, and George Clooney has a bit of a meltdown. They find out that this is the shipment where they keep all of the shipments from all the trucks and bikers. Which you got to think about, like, you know, this is a biker bar in a truck driver bar. This isn't the first time people have shown up and tried to fight back. Obviously, it seems like everyone has lost. And at the very end of the movie, we get a big shot of what this entire complex is. But we'll get there when we get there. And that was a big thing played up in the TV show, by the way.
Yes.
The prequel to this movie, which is The Hangman's Daughter, is the origin story of Pandemonia, played by Selma Hayek, and how the whole thing at the bar started, because the bar is in fact a temple.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a prequel, though. As far as the movies go, I've only seen this one. I have seen the first season of the show,
yep,
and maybe like half of season 2, I think.
Yep. They get into a little bit more in season 2 as well of that show. I've only seen the first season, the first half of the second season. I've thought about going back, maybe not from the very beginning, but going back and rewatching starting with season 2 onward. So
yeah, same.
Just because I'm doing this podcast for this movie, I don't need to rewatch the first season, because the first season is entirely the film.
true.
So I love the fact that there are super soakers, because super soakers were big in the 90s.
Yes,
dirty,
my neighbors had them.
Dirty, disgusting looking condoms, like Jesus Christ. Those look disgusting. Did they drop them? Because when they're blowing the condoms up filled with water for the preacher to bless them, they look gross. Like, condoms should be in, like, little packs.
Yeah, but how long has this been happening? Like, how old are those? You know what I'm saying? Like, could have gotten, maybe they're from the 1950s.
So here's something I will tell you right now. After I saw that scene, I went into my closet and pulled out, you know, Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
Okay, so there is a subset of cards that called Sex Against Humanity. And it's kind of like you play in a group of friends and you pass cards around to kill off or whatever. I don't remember all the rules, but the rules were you could pass a card to someone and be like, oh, I just gave you chlamydia. Oh, I just gave you AIDS. Oh, you're pregnant. Oh, I raped you. You know, things like that. Like,
yes.
Again, like Cards Against Humanity, you have to have a complete sense of humor no matter what the subject matter is to play the game. Otherwise, you're going to get offended because the cards are insanely sexually offensive. And this was at PAX East they were giving these away. And you could play the card game, by the way, behind a curtain because of the obvious reasons. And as part of a, you know, like congratulatory beating the game, you got a copy of the game and you got condoms, too. So they were also promoting safe sex.
Jeez.
And this was 2015. And I still had the condoms in the wrappers in the game.
Well, that's 5 years ago. I'm saying them like the 1950s.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't know. Did they have condoms in the 1950s?
I have no idea.
Okay. The point is that the blowing up the condoms looks gross. It just, they're so dirty. Yes, that's why it makes me think, did Kate and Scott drop the condoms on the floor? Because there's dirt all over.
Possibly. I mean, they're in a rush.
Kate's best moment is finding the crossbow in the case. Looks like a coffin with a cross on it.
I love that case. I want that case.
Oh my God. Where is that crossbow today? I don't think they even say it in the commentary, but I'm just like, that is awesome. Also, bullets with crosses in them. Brilliant. I think that's something they would copy in Blade, because this came out 2 years before Blade. I
still have never seen Blade.
Ah!
That's like the one on my list that I'm like, for some reason, it's evaded me.
What? Blade is so good. Trust me. I mean, the opening sequence of that movie is one of the best opening sequences in a movie since The Return of the Jedi at that point.
I know, it's on my, like, two watch list, like, forever, and for some reason, it's, like, never streaming anywhere.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, he came back in Deadpool and Wolverine.
I also still haven't seen that one.
Ah! All right, so anyway.
So if you were in this situation, which one of those weapons would you have picked?
The crossbow.
The crossbow?
The crossbow, but I'd also have a sidearm with me, because, let's face it, biker gangs and truck drivers, there was probably tons of guns back there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I would totally carve the bullet, you know, the crosses into the bullets.
Yeah.
Go on with your notes about what Jacob asks of his children.
Well, he asks them to kill him because he's bitten, so he knows he's turning into a vampire. So he, you know, and they say they're like, yeah, we promise. And he's like, oh, I don't believe you. And so he's like, I need you to swear to me, like swear to God. And he threatens, he puts a gun to his head saying, you know, I might as well do it now. If I don't believe you, you know, if you're not going to do it in the moment, then I might as well do it now. Cause I'm, you know, and so finally he counts down to Kate, which is pretty traumatizing. And she finally is like, okay, I swear. And then he makes Scott do the same thing. And, Scott tries to call his bluff and, he's like, you don't believe in suicide. And he's like, it's not suicide if you're already dead. And then he's like, fine, you know, like, and he promises too. Which, good thing he does, because we'll get there.
With regards to George Clooney, it's like without hesitation, because he knows He knows Seth will do it.
Yeah, immediately. He's like, I will.
But he stares at the kids while they're fighting against it. Like, you know, he's really got this look on his face of like, these kids are not going to be able to do this.
Yeah, almost like willing them to, come on, like, just say it, you got to do it, you know.
And it's not suicide if you're already dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I guess is true.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think if, I don't know, that could be a whole debate, as if, you know, he pulls the trigger right then and there in the back room, but, why hasn't he turned yet? Because the other guy, I'm blanking on his name, but some of the other people that turn to vampires, they turn to vampires pretty quickly, and when they get to the back room, he's like, oh, I'll be a vampire within the hour.
Yeah, and it's, according to the timestamp, about 10 minutes. And it's not an hour. Unless it's an hour of them getting ready, which could be. You know, they kind of go through this whole montage. That could take an hour. I think the problem is with this movie and a lot of vampire movies is that the, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer rules are, like, 3 nights. They suck you. You suck them. 3 nights later, you come back. They want to hurry up and get to the vampire part of this. You know what I mean? It's like you get bitten or scratched, you're a vampire. It's like a werewolf.
Right.
Like the current Wolfman movie where it's like a virus. And they seem to be like, oh, it's like a virus. There's supernatural stuff, but it's obviously like more virus oriented. And with Alien Romulus, the most recent Alien film, it seems like it's supposed to be like a week of gestation inside you. And then you cough up the thing within that, like, you know, within a day, you're going to sprout out the xenomorph. And like Alien Romulus, it's like a couple hours.
I didn't see it, so I'll take your word.
Same thing with like zombies or like in 28 Days Later, like a drop of blood in your eye looking up at a dead body in a tree, you immediately turn into not a zombie, because they're not zombies in 28 Days Later. They're raged out monsters. You know, you don't die. You just turn into a rage freak with like super hyper, not herpes, not what's the disease that animals can get in the wild?
Oh, rabies.
Rabies. Yeah, it's like a rabies virus. Herpes. I'm waiting for that movie to come out where herpes turns you into a monster.
Jeez.
You know someone's sitting on a script for that.
Probably. Takes all sorts.
Well, our 5 minutes ends with George Clooney saying, "All right, vampire killers, let's kill some fucking vampires." And they open the door and the vampires are there. And that's how we end these 5 minutes of the movie. Dead man.